Say amen. We'll talk to you this morning about what you're talking about. I've been studying on this, and man, it spurred my spirit the other night at Broken Lives. What are you talking about? But better yet, who are you talking about? TV show, I've heard Brother Jim say it many times. Me and him be together, and I would ask him a question. He looked at me and said, what you talking about, Willis? Okay, we got a young congregation. What are you talking about, Willis? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Brother Joey Barnes, you know what I'm talking about. What are you talking about, Willis? He's old enough to know. So, and when I heard that, it spurred my spirit. And this morning, I want you to turn with me to Acts chapter number 8 this morning. And I want to look at what you're talking about. Preacher, what you talking about? Preacher, who are you talking about? Preacher, what are you talking about? Who is this that they're talking about? We don't understand. We've been in church all of our life. We've had a Bible all of our life. We've seen Scripture all of our life. And we're still out here and we don't know who you're talking about. This morning I'll make it very plain who I'm talking about. His name's Jesus. Who's he talking about? Acts chapter number 8 and verse number 26. If you have a copy of God's Word, I ask you to stand. Acts chapter number 8 and verse number 26. Acts 8:26. And the Bible says in Acts chapter number 8 and verse number 26, who you talking about? And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go unto toward the south, and to the way down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and it came to Jerusalem for it to worship, was returning and setting in his chariot, and read Isaiah the prophet. And then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself unto this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, here it is, do you understand what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scriptures he read was this, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shear, so opened he not his mouth. And his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I want you to get this. I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet? He said, who is he talking about? Is he talking about himself? Is Isaiah talking about Isaiah? Or is Isaiah talking about some other man? And Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they come into a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities until he came to Caesarea. Father, we love you and we thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for the sweet Holy Ghost that's in this place. Lord, I thank you that I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Father, I thank you for that this morning. Lord, I pray that you bless the next few moments. I pray that, Father, you have your will and way in this place. Lord, I want to say it's been good to be in your house already. It's good to be in your presence and in your power and with your people this morning, Father. Lord, I pray that you just move in a mighty way. I pray for that man or that woman or that boy or that girl that has walked in here this morning and their life is undone. They're at the end and they don't know what to do. I got good news for them this morning, Father. They walked into the right place. And Jesus Christ is Lord this morning. He's the Lord this evening. He was Lord in the beginning and he's Lord now. Father, I pray that you continue to move. You continue to have your way. I ask you to guard my throat and guard my thoughts. Watch over everything that I say. Let it be all about Jesus this morning. I pray that Jesus will be increased and that I will decrease. I ask it in no other name but the name of Jesus, and all of God's people say it. Amen. You may be seated this morning as we come here in Acts chapter number 8 and verse number 26. You know, Philip's done been leading people to the Lord, and all of a sudden the angel of the Lord come to Philip and he said, I know you're in revival. I know you're having a heyday and I know things are going well, but you must leave this place and go somewhere else. There's somebody there that you need to minister to. Philip was led by the Spirit of God to go to a man that did not understand the gospel. He did not understand the word of God. He did not understand the gospel. And you know, there's people this morning that I sit in churches every week. I'm talking about week in and week out. They never miss. They're always there. And they don't understand the gospel. They don't understand the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How that a man can repent and ask God to come into his life. And he'll save him and he'll wash him and make him white as snow. There's people that don't understand that. They think there's got to be more. That they got to live it. And I want you to know this morning, hey, that's the reason I didn't want to be saved. Hey, because I said I can't live it. There's no way that I can live the gospel way. There's no way I can live that way. It's too hard. It's too strict. There's too much going on. Hey, and I got good news this morning. You can't live it. Hey, but Christ Jesus can live it through you. Can I get an amen this morning? Hey, this morning I want you to know when he got to where the eunuch was, the eunuch had already been to worship. He had already been to a place of worship. He already had the word in his lap. He had already read the word, Brother JD. He'd done been to worship. He'd done read the word, but he still didn't know the way. He didn't know who Isaiah was talking about. And I want you to look. I want you to look this morning at the work of the Holy Spirit when a person wants to know Jesus, but they don't understand. I want you to look at the work of the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit. I want to take you through here this morning. Look with me in verse number 30, how the Holy Spirit takes control of a person's life. If they will allow that Holy Spirit to take control, that Spirit of God will come down in amongst them and he'll do a mighty work in their life. I see, number one, the Holy Spirit, he's the one that starts the conversation. Look with me, Will, if you will, in verse number 30. That conversation didn't start with the eunuch, it started with a man of God. It started with Philip. And you know what the Spirit told him? He said, I want you to go. I want you to get up where you're at and you get gone. You get out of this place and you go, there's a man waiting on you. And the Bible says in verse number 30, and Philip ran. He started the holy conversation with Philip. I want you to know this morning when that word come to Philip, Philip obeyed that word. The Bible said that he ran. He got up from where he was at and he took off to where that eunuch was. The Bible said that Philip ran to him, and he heard him read the prophet Isaiah in verse 30 and said, understandest thou what thou readest? I see not only did Philip run, but Philip heard. He heard the word of the Lord. He didn't only obey, but he was open to the word of the Lord. Romans 10:17 says, for now faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hey, this morning I thank God for a Bible, don't you? I thank God for a burden. I thank God for his word this morning. At the Holy Ghost of heaven, you start reading that word, and he'll come down from heaven. He'll infiltrate your soul. He'll make a change in your life. I see that Holy Spirit. It started the conversation in verse number 30. It said Philip ran and Philip heard and he got to where the prophet was and he took the opportunity. He didn't pass it up. When he got right there where that eunuch was, Philip ran to him. He heard what was going on and Philip asked him a question. Do you understand? He took the opportunity. Do you understand who Jesus is? Do you understand what he can do in your life? This morning as your pastor, I want to ask you a question. Do you understand who Jesus is? Do you understand what Jesus can do in your life? He can take you and make you new. He can make you clean. He can wash you white as snow. I thank God this morning. It doesn't matter if you're black, white. It don't matter this morning, rich or poor. It don't matter who you are, man or woman. We got a God in heaven that can take the Holy Ghost from heaven and put it in anybody's heart, any place, any time, and anywhere. Hey, can I get a amen? Hey, that's the Holy Ghost this morning. That's the work that he does. You can be down and out and the next minute be on the mountaintop. Amen. He said the Holy Spirit starts the conversation in verse number 30. But look with me in 31 through 34. The Holy Spirit produces the strong conviction. He don't only start the conversation, but he's the one that produces the conviction. There's not a preacher worth his salt can put you under conviction. If you are, that's called preacher conviction. There's a lot of people been under preacher conviction. If you walk in that back door and I know you're an alcoholic and I preach on alcohol, that's not of God. Listen to me this morning. It's when the man of God don't know nothing about the people of God sitting out there. He just takes an old King James Bible, opens that leather cover up, and he preaches, thus saith the word of God. And he tells you that God's wanting to have a conversation with you because he's putting conviction on you. He's wanting a change in your life. You say, preacher, you believe that? Look with me, if you will, in verse 31. And he said unto him, here's what the eunuch said to Philip. He produces the desire, the Holy Spirit does. And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip. What'd he do? The conversation, but look at the conviction. He said, come sit with me. He said, come sit with me. I need you to come sit with me. I need you to come talk with me. And Philip did. He produces the desire. The Holy Spirit has strong conviction. He produces the desire in verse 31, but he also produces the hunger. And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb he was dumb before a shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. Can I say to you this morning, the Holy Spirit doesn't only produce the conversation to get you started, but the Holy Spirit produces the conviction. Amen. Man, I'm telling you this morning, there's a difference in a conversation and a conviction. And when the Holy Ghost gets convicting a man, woman, boy, or girl, they'll know it. Man, your heart will be beating on the backside of nowhere. Can I get an amen? You'll be like, who in the world is this talking to me? What's going on? Man, they shouldn't know all this about me. They shouldn't know that what's going on in my life, and I need to hear this. It produces a desire. It produces hunger. But it also produces this. I got to know who is the man talking about. Look with me, if you will, in verse number 34. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee. He said, I want to know something. Of whom speaketh the prophet? Is Isaiah talking about himself, or is he talking about another man? And you know what Philip said? He preached unto him Jesus. This morning, not one person in this room can be born again unless the Spirit of God is drawing them to them. Not one man can, or one woman, or one boy, or one girl can ever be born again if the Spirit's not drawing. You say, preacher, I got plenty of time. I got plenty of time to be saved. I know the Holy Ghost is knocking on my heart to be saved, or he's knocking on my heart for service, or he's knocking on my heart to do something, but I got plenty of time. I'll put it off. I'll do it at a more convenient time. My friends, listen to me. You can't make that Spirit draw. It'll draw when it wants to draw. It'll draw where it wants to draw, and it'll draw who it wants to draw when it wants to draw. And he says this morning in John chapter number 6 and verse number 44, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. John 6:63, the Bible says, it is the Spirit that quickens; the flesh profit nothing, and the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. I see the Spirit this morning. Who are you talking about, preacher? I see it's the Spirit that starts the conversation. Nobody ever got up and said, I think I ought to be saved. We ain't got that in us. We didn't get up and just say, I think today I ought to be born again. No. It's the Spirit that starts the conversation. Nobody in here got up this morning and said, I think I'll go to Union Chapel and listen, or go to the Union Chapel and hear. I think I'll go. Oh, no. You didn't do that on your own. It's the Spirit that drove you here this morning. It's the Spirit that speaks. It's the Spirit that does the conversation. Listen to me. Our flesh is wicked and it's nasty and it's dirty, and we don't want the things of God. We want the things of the world. But it's the Spirit that comes inside of us that starts the conversation, and it starts the conviction. And then we know there's got to be a change and there's got to be a difference. Your intellect will not get you to that point. By being smart can't get you saved. By being a church member can't get you saved. You get saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. There's a drawing. It's the Spirit this morning. He said, number one, he said he starts the conversation. He has the conviction, the one that can put the conviction power. But I see something else, Brother Matt. It's the Spirit knows. It's the Spirit that knows if the confession is sincere or not. Uh-oh. What? It's the Spirit that knows if the confession you make is sincere or not. So what do you mean, preacher? The Bible says if I confess, yes, but sincerely. Sincerely, with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. Love thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, and all thy might. It's the Spirit that knows if you're sincere tonight, this morning, about Jesus or not. It's the Spirit that knows. Your spouse can't say that. Your preacher can't stand here when you die and say, I know they made it to heaven. Only body knows that is the Spirit of God that lives inside of you if you're born again. He's the one that gives you that confirmation. He's the one that gives you that this morning. He's the one that knows if the confession is sincere or not. If it's sincere or not. So, preacher, how do you see that in the text? Look with me, if you will, in Acts 8:35 down. I want to show you how that Spirit knows if it's sincere or not. You know, I've wanted something before in my life real bad, ain't you? Been real sincere about it. Brother Tony, I'm talking about sincere, wanting it so bad. And when I got it, I didn't really want what I got. But can I say to you, when I met Jesus, man, I wanted something, Brother Jerry Gabby, I'm telling you, I was sick and tired of being sick and tired, and I need a new touch. And I want you to know that night I went to church, it wasn't by my own power, my own will, or my own might. It was by the Spirit of the Holy Ghost of heaven that started that conversation that night. You ought to go to heaven. You ought to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You ought to do. It started in my mind. Where's this coming from? Went to church that night. The conversation started forever, got there. The conviction got strong within the service. I mean, the conviction come. You can't make a confession without conviction. There's got to be something that shows you that you're sinful and you need a Savior. You can't be saved if you don't know there's never been any sin in your life. John said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away what? The sin of the world. And when he got here, he preached Jesus unto him. And here's what he said. He said, what hinders me to be baptized? What hinders me to be baptized? Not one person can go through that water unless they've been born again. Can I say to you, there's been a lot of people been through the water that's never been born again and they're still lost and going to hell. The water will not save you. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Let me show you this in Scripture this morning. I want to show you this. It's on my heart. He knows if the confession is sincere. Look in verse 37, if you will. Let's go back to 35. 36. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I want you to get something in that one sentence. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The Holy Spirit knew that the confession was sincere because, number one, it was a personal confession. You know what he did? He didn't say, my wife and my kids believe, and we all believe. It's good for a whole home to be saved, Brother Les. It's good for a husband, wife, and it's good. That's good. But it don't happen that way. The whole family can't get saved without the Spirit drawing. But then it's still got to be personal. It's got to be personal. It's got to be personal. He said, I believe. He took it personal. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Not only did he make a personal confession, but he made a plain confession. Very plain. He said, preacher, what all do I got to do to be saved? It's very plain. He said, if thou believest that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He said, personally, I believe. You know, there may be a husband in here that's a believer and the wife's not. Or maybe you're in here and both of you lost and you don't know what to do or where to go. Maybe some kids in here and you don't know what to do. You don't worry about who's beside you. You worry about who's above you. And here's what he said. He said, I believe, Brother Eric. It was personal. It was plain. What he believed is plain. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But I seen it wasn't only personal and plain, but it was public. I love that in the text. It was public. So how was it public, preacher? He didn't hide. He didn't say, let me go home and talk about it and I'll get back with you in a couple of days. He said, what can I do? And he said, thou believest. And he said, I believe. It was public. He didn't care who was around, Brother Jake. He was going to stand for Jesus. He was public. Romans 10:9, the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thy heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I say not only has it produced the conversation, the conviction, and even the confession. It's the Spirit that produces that. Romans 2:4, know ye not it's the goodness of God that leadeth to repentance. But the last thing, the Holy Spirit will show the change for sure. If you're truly made a sincere confession of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit will show that change in your life. You won't be able to show it as well as the Holy Spirit shows it. So how do you know that, preacher? I seen a man confused. I seen a man here that didn't know, and then I seen a man rejoicing. Look with me, if you will, in verse number 38. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord told away Philip that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. They was rejoicing in his life. Romans 8:10 says, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, it'll be the Spirit that makes the difference. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Do you know who I'm talking about this morning? Has there been a change? All this leads up to the story I'm fixing to tell you about a man named Glenn Hodges. We went to Broken Lives Thursday night. I've seen a lot of men over there give their life to Jesus. First and foremost, most tears do not mean that you met Jesus. Listen to me. Tears don't mean you met Jesus. But listen to me. If you walk up and meet the God of the universe smacking your gum, and you get up and walk back smacking your gum, you walk up feeling good and walk back feeling good, something ain't died. There's a death when you come to know Christ Jesus. The old man dies and there's a new man that comes on the scene. We got out there that night around that van Thursday night, and we began to pray, asking God to move in the Holy Ghost, asking him to have his way in that place. And as we got to praying there, we went to go in, and Brother Brad said, Brother Jerry Gabby's going to sing a few songs. I've got a word. Brother Boyd had a word. Brother Tony had a word. Looked at me and I said, no, I think I'm pretty good tonight. We walked into the building. I looked back to the left. There was men sitting everywhere there. And there was this one big black guy. I'm talking about 6'9", probably. Brother Heath had to help get him up. He's about 6'9". I'm talking about maybe 400 pounds. I'm talking about a big old man. Black ain't got nothing to do with it, amen? He's just a big old man. He was sitting back there, and I spoke to a few guys, and I got to him, and I sat down beside him, Brother Jake, and the conversation started right there. It started right there, and I asked him what was he doing and what was he in there for, and he got to talking to me, and he said, what are you doing over here amongst us? And I got telling him my story, how that God had saved me and delivered me and brought me out of a devil's hell and set my feet on solid rock that I may follow Jesus, no longer having a needle in my arm, no longer having a bottle to my mouth, no longer my wife worrying where I'm at, but I'm with a bunch of men talking about Jesus. Can I get an amen? That's the kind of men we need in this church. And I got up, it's time to start. I got up and left him sitting there. I walked up there and I listened to three men preach the gospel just as straight and true as you can preach. They preached us at the Word of God. They preached the gospel. And it got time for invitation, and I was standing there and we stood up. And they started giving an invitation time, and the Spirit of God told me, he said, you go tell Heath Butler that you're proud of him. I said, what in the world is that for? And when you get done, you tell Brother Boyd you're proud of him. I wrapped Brother Heath up. I said, Brother, I love you and I'm proud of you. Thank God that you're here. Thank God that he's done a work in your life. And I went over there to Brother Boyd and hugged him up. I said, thank God that you're here. I thank God that you're doing God's done a work in your life. He said, preacher, what are you talking about? And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God, you say, I don't believe this. Come on up here and get you some. Can I get an amen? Hey, and as I got there, here's what he said. He said, I want you to get down in that altar, and I don't want you to get up. The man that you're supposed to pray for, the man that you're supposed to show the way, the truth, and the life, he's going to come to you. You just stay right there, and don't you get up. And I had no clue who was coming, but Brother Jerry was picking a guitar. He knew who was going to come. And all of a sudden, I was down there praying, and I heard somebody coming. And son, I'm talking about it sound like this. It was doing this right here, coming up there, and we had a cement floor. And this big old man was walking up. And when he fell down where I was at, brother, I'm telling you the honest God truth, 400 pounds, when he fell down on that floor like that. And it slapped that floor. His hand hit that floor. And there was tears everywhere. And I looked over at him. And I said, man, what's going on? He said, I don't understand. I don't understand who they're talking about. But I'm ready for a change. I want somebody to teach me. I want somebody to show me. I'm sick and tired of this life. I said, man, what's your name? He said, my name is Glenn. And I said, Glenn, do you need a new star? He said, I want to be saved. I want to be saved. I want to be saved right now. He said, "Preacher, what did you do?" I grabbed my old Bible and I got down there and I opened up in the scripture in Romans chapter number 10. Turn with me there if you will. I want to show you this in the Bible. I turned there to Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 9. And as I was there with this Bible, I got down there, Sister Denise, right there what we're fixing to do in just a moment. And Glenn was there. And I said, "Glenn, I want to show you what the Bible says about sin and the Savior and how you can be born again. Is that what you want?" He said, "I got to have it. I got to have it." And I took my old Bible. Thank God for a Bible. Amen. And here's what I read to him. Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 9. If you're there, say amen. Amen. And here's how I read it to him. That if Glenn, it got personal. See, you read it in the third person. You read it in all kind of ways, but you never read it and let it get personal. I see a man that we'd had a conversation. He was under conviction. He was willing to make a confession. All he needed is somebody to show him how. Not give him nothing fake. Don't give him a list of things to do. Husbands, y'all know what that's about. You get a list of things to do, you don't do half of them. Y'all ain't that good. Come on now. My wife gave me a list that long, I take the top and then the bottom and leave everything in the middle out. Amen? There's two or three things we do. We vacuum. We unload the dryer. We unload the dishwasher. So she can load them back up. Amen? If y'all ain't doing that, something at y'all's house, y'all in trouble. Oh, y'all's marriage on the rocks right now, and it ain't on the rock of Jesus. If you ain't doing nothing at your house, man, you in trouble. If she's doing all the work, you in trouble at home. If you laid up in there like a kid and ain't working, and you just laid up in there and you ain't helping none, oh, you in trouble. That's her job, preacher. Oh, no. You become one. Ain't no more twain, but become one flesh. Oh, man, I realized that real early, Brother Harold. When I started helping out a little bit, picking up after myself, it went a whole lot better. Can I get an amen? Man, somebody needed that or we wouldn't have got on that. She don't want to do all the work. Oh, no. Oh, no. Let me get back where I was at. Whoever that hit, you know who I'm talking about. Yeah, we become one. We become one. It goes right along with Christ Jesus. When we get saved, we become one in Christ. And he don't want to be doing all the work. He don't want to do all the work. He did all the work on Calvary. He saved you that you might do a good work. Oh, yeah. If I'm slacking at home, Brother J.D., I'll slack in the church. If I'm slacking at home with the one that I made a covenant to, I'll be slacking on Jesus. Oh, yeah. And I told Glenn this. Here's what he said in Romans 10, 9, Brother J.D. That if Glenn shall confess with his mouth the Lord Jesus, and if Glenn shall believe in his heart that God had raised him from the dead, Glenn shall be saved. For with Glenn's heart he believes unto righteousness, and with Glenn's mouth confessions made unto salvation. For if Glenn, in verse 13, shall call upon the name of the Lord, Glenn shall be saved. That big old joker laying there, I'm talking about we got snot, we got everything you can think of laying on that altar where he's just crying out to God. And he said, "Lord," he was sitting there, I said, "Did you ask Jesus into your heart, Glenn?" I was talking. And he said, "Preacher, yeah." I said, "Man, come on now, listen to me. Let your mind know what your heart's thinking. Let your mind know. I pray quietly, preacher. You don't know a whole lot. But when you start letting your mind know what your heart will start letting stuff come out of your mouth that you didn't know was in there." And all of a sudden that big joker got to praying and asking God to forgive him and to save him and to wash him clean. All of a sudden he got to screaming in the Holy Ghost down there in that ground. Right there where he's at, he got to screaming in the Holy Ghost. God made a move on his life and saved his soul, Brother Bradley, right there in that altar. When we got done, I looked at him. I said, "Glenn," I said, "man, would you be willing to confess Jesus in front of all these people?" He looked at me and he said, "Is that what the Bible says?" I said, "Yes, sir, it does." I said, "The Bible says if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father which is in heaven. You duck your head and hide out and don't want to be a Christian, I'll deny you before my Father which is in heaven." I said, "Glenn, what you want to do?" He said, "I want to tell everybody I got born again." Old Glenn was able to walk to the altar, big old guy. I'm not talking about no baby, I'm talking about a man. But when the Holy Ghost got on him, it left him slung there in the altar. I looked around, grabbed a hold of his right arm, trying to lift him up, 400 pounds, man. I'm good about 140. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Dead weight's heavy. 170 was a lot for me on my corner over there. And all of a sudden, I seen Brother Heath Butler come around that corner, and he grabbed a hold of that arm. I said, Brother Heath, let's help this brother up on his feet. He just got born again. I said, Preacher, why'd you want to help him up? Because I didn't want to leave him where I found him. Jesus didn't leave him where he found him. We reached down there and picked that big joker up. He got to his senses a little bit. He's whopping snot. Son, I'm talking about he's getting his composure about him. By the time he got real good in composure, I'd have spun him right around there. And I said, this is Glenn Hodges. And they're all looking like, what's going on? There's something happened down there that we ain't never experienced. There's something went on in this man's life that we ain't seen before. Something happened. I said, Brother Glenn, did you give your life to Jesus? Did you ask him to forgive you, come into your heart and save you? Man, he whopping, I'm talking about big old Joker, he whopping snot. You could hit him on the end of his nose and he wouldn't cry a bit. Hey, some of you men in here, you can get in a fight, you don't cry. You just man up and keep going. But when the Holy Ghost, listen, that's the Spirit. When it gets in there, it does something we ain't used to. It gets to pride in things we don't want nobody to know. And all of a sudden, he got to whopping snot. He said, yes, I asked Jesus. I asked Jesus. I said, Glenn, are you willing to confess him before these men? He said, I sure am. He confessed him right there before them men. And we rocked on there, and there was another guy named Brother Brad. I don't see him, but he knows their names. He said, Preacher, why'd you forget their names? Because I wasn't in the altar with them. I was where I was supposed to be doing what I was supposed to do. He said, Preacher, did you save him? No, sir. If I saved him, he's still going to hell. But let me tell you who did save him. Jesus Christ. You can't be saved without the Holy Ghost. You said, Preacher, where's the Baptist church? We don't believe in the Holy Ghost. Your preacher believes in the Holy Ghost. If you don't believe in the Holy Ghost, you're lost. You can't be saved without him. And when you get saved, he comes inside of you. He takes up his abode, his residency. He takes over. This morning, I'm just asking you a question. Do you know who I'm talking about? Have you ever been in a place where the Spirit of God had a conversation with you? Started showing you who you really was. Put you under Holy Ghost conviction. I've seen preachers want to preach people under conviction. I'm talking about you can see it on, they wanted to. It won't work. Spirit will work though. And if you ever made a sincere confession, you said, that's me. I'm the one. If you did, the change will be for sure. You won't have to worry about it. As my daughter come up here a while ago to sing, she don't know the life I lived. She was born after that. I got saved. She got born in 2004. I got born again in 2000. She don't know that life. But I've told her about that life. I've educated her on that life. I want her to be on the streets, but I don't want her to be of the streets. I want her to know what the streets are about, but I don't want her on them like I was. I don't want her out there. I don't want her to have to mess her life up to find Jesus. You don't have to go to hell to go to heaven. You don't have to go through the muck of this world and all that stuff to find Jesus. All you have to do is be honest. I'm talking to somebody right now. You know what I'm talking about. You found it. He found you. But it was after you done messed up a whole bunch. I'm one of them. And we got a younger generation. We can tell you don't have to go through all that to meet Jesus. This morning I want to tell you about this man named Jesus. He's here this morning. And if you're lost, I'd get to this altar and I'd get born again. He said, Preacher, some more convenient time. When I have time, I will. You're not promised tomorrow. Preacher, listen, if that spirit's beating on you this morning, why not get to this altar? Make things right with the Lord. Let the Lord move in a mighty way on your life. He's having a conversation with somebody right now, I guarantee you. He's put conviction on somebody right now in this place, I guarantee you. I guarantee you this morning, there's somebody sitting there saying, boy, I'd love to confess. I'm even saved. And there's things I need to get in the altar and get off me. I'm sick and tired of carrying this baggage around. Because I want to change. I want to change. This morning, if that's you, why not come to this altar? And let me tell you who I'm talking about. It's my Jesus. Who the Son sets free. Father, I do love you and I do thank you for this day. I thank you for the sweet Holy Ghost of heaven that is in camp this place right now. Lord, this morning, Father, we've seen two baptisms. Father, I thank you for the conversation that you started in their life. I thank you for that conviction, that confession, and now they're at the point, Father, you can see that change all over them. Lord, for that one that I'm talking to right now that says, I need a change, I pray this morning will be the morning they receive that change in Jesus' name. Lord, it said, when he seen Philip no more, he went on his way rejoicing. His hope was not in Philip. His hope was in Jesus. Father, this morning, my hope and my trust is in your son, Jesus. It's in Jesus' name we ask and we pray. All of God's people said, I ask you to stand this morning.